We're in the middle of discussing Chasan Avel. So let's just look at a little part. We went through the whole Gemara from Gimel Beis to Dalet Beis. I just want to review just a few sections of it so we can discuss the some of the pertinent issues. And we'll try next week to start something else because there's so many good topics and we'll just have to move a little more quickly. So the Gemara here says on Gimel Beis, that the Gemara, again, just to remind everybody, the on Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara was discussing a certain case where there was a lot of ambiguity. The Gemara says that at a certain point in time, Mishum Sakana, Misakana the Eilach, the top of Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Misakana the Eilach, once it became a time of Sakana, Nagu, they began to practice Lichnos Bishlishi, that people could get married on a Tuesday and not on a Wednesday, even though normally the wedding day was supposed to be Wednesday. And then the Gemara says, "V'imach masa ones." However, the Gemara says you shouldn't get married on a Monday. V'lo micho biyadam chachamim, but b'sheni liyechnos v'imach masa ones mutter. But if it's mishum ones, then it's mutter even to get married on a Monday. So the Gemara is struggling to define what is mishum sakana that justifies moving from Wednesday to Tuesday, and what is Mishimones, which sounds like something quite different, which also validates a wedding on a Monday. So the Gemara has definite suggestions, and finally the Gemara's final suggestion on the bottom of the page is the case of what we call Chasan Avel. That's what happens when the Chasan or the Kala, doesn't have to be the Chasan, one of the parties, the Chasan or the Kala, becomes an Avel right before the wedding. And that's what the Gemara talks about. Iba Yisema, my machmas ones, Kedetanya, three lines from the bottom. Hare shaya pitay afui, v'tivcho tavuach, v'yenu mazug, umeis ov shachasan o iba shokala. If everything is all ready, and you can almost taste the smorgasbord, it's, you know, sitting right there, ready to be pounced upon, I guess. And then all of a sudden, the devastating, tragic news that, you know, meis aviv shochasan o ima shokala. So again, equally graphically, the Gemara describes what you do, and they say, machnisan es ameis lecheder, right? You put the body in one room, v'sachasan zakala l'chupa, your machnis, the chasan and kala to the chupa, ubo bilas mitzvah uparish. And then they have the moment of bilas mitzvah, and then there is a prisha that takes place, and then it is followed by 7 days of mishta, because the chuppah took place, and then that is followed by shiva simei avelus, even though it's already a week away from the kivur. In other words, what happens is there is chuppah, there is bilas mitzvah, there is prisha, there is kivura, there is shiva simei mishta, and then there's shiva simei avelus. That's what happens. Okay, the cholosan ayamim. During the entire period, we don't trust them together. And the Gemara is going to ask later on, why don't we? After all, the rule normally is that once they're husband and wife, and they've had an intimate experience together, that we're no longer concerned about yichud. This is in a prisha, but you know, we trust the husband and wife. So why is it in this particular case that we say kolosan ayamim all those days who yashen ben anashim vihi shena ben anashim? Anyways, ein max monin takshitim anakala kolam yom. We also are being told that 30 days after the chuppah, for those 30 days, the kala retains the right to adorn herself in a certain way, even if she becomes an avel, even if she becomes an avel towards the end of the 30-day period, and it's in the shivas yimei avelus according to the way the Ramban reads the Gemara. That's because she has a shame kala, and it's important that, you know, the tone of their relationship begin in a certain kind of way, where she has certain, potential of appearance and so on. And then we're told that dafka avishochasan ibishokala the leke inish the tarach lahu avil ipchala. This halacha, you go ahead with the marriage and then you do the Avelus, the Kvura, and then you have the Shiv Smei Mishta, and then you have the Shiv Smei Avelus, that applies only when it's the father of the Chasan or the mother of the Kala who play a particularly vital role. Aval Ipcha, but if it's the mother of the Chasan and the father of the Kala, or the father of the Kala, then you don't treat it in the same way. And then there's a big debate, and the Rishonim, I think I mentioned this already, what does that mean? So most Rishonim are the opinion, there's a double debate about what it means. Let's say, number one, who's included in Avalip Chalo? So most of Rishonim are the opinion, like Bali Tosas here, Avalip Chalo means even the father of the Kala and the mother of the Chasan are not treated in the same way as the father of the Chasan and the mother of the Kala. And Kol Shekain, any other Krovim that you're Chayav for Avelus, right, they certainly are not going to be treated like the father of the Chasan and the mother of the Kala. There's a view in the Shittim Kubatzes which disagrees and which says, you know what? Avalip Chalo is limited to the father of the Kala and the mother of the Chasan. But if it was some other relative, we would do exactly what we do for the father of the Chasan and the mother of the Kala. That's exactly. Now, how can that be? The Kol Shekain of the Bali Tosas, right, makes more sense, right? They certainly don't rank higher. Ah. But the point is, according to those Rishonim, Rabbi Yonah, Shittishana, is they don't rank higher, they rank lower. But because they rank lower, the urgency of the Avelus is also lower. In other words, what happens is, on the level of Avelus, intensity of Avelus, there's no difference between the loss of a father and the loss of a mother. Right? Whether it's Aviv Shel Chasan or Ima Shel Chasan, whether it's Aviv Shel Kala or Ima Shel Kala, it's the same Yudbeis Chodesh, it's the same kind of Avelus. The only thing is, what is different is, the urgency or the indispensability of the father of the Chasan and the mother of the Kala to the marriage ceremony and proceedings that are going to take place. And therefore, it's Avalip Chalo. However, this is their view, when you have a lesser Karov, when you lose a lesser Karov, it's hard to say lesser Karov, but relatively, when there's no Yud Beis Chodesh, where the level of Avelus is a little bit less intense, so they argue, so too, therefore, if the level is less intense, then maybe it also dictates greater justification to go ahead with the wedding. In other words, for a parent to go ahead for the wedding, there has to be a huge financial loss. But for a sibling to go ahead or for the wedding, to go ahead with the wedding, you don't require as much. So ironically, its weakness, let's say, is its strength here. Anyways, that's Avalip Chalo. There's another debate about Avalip Chalo, and that's the machlokas between most Rishonim, including the Rambam, as opposed to the Rif, the Bahag, and a few others. The simple pshat, just one more second, is that Avalip Chalo means, what do you do in a case of a father of the Chasan and a mother of the Kala? You have Chopa, Bias Mitzvah, Poresh, Kvura, Shir Smei Mishta, Shir Smei Avelus. Right? In the case of, what do you do in the case of Avalip Chalo, whatever it includes? So most are shown, like the Rambam say, what you do is, you have Kvura, you have Avelus, all right? And then you have Chupa, Bilas Mitzvah, and Shiva Simei Mishta. Even then, there's an interesting debate. The Rambam is of the opinion that this can take place right after the Shiva. In other words, you have Kvura, Shiva, right after the Shiva, you have marriage, Bias Mitzvah, right? And Shiva Simei Mishta. The Ravid disagrees. Ravid says you have to wait 30 days until you get married, all things being equal. In other words, you have Kvura, you have Shiva Simei Avelos, then you finish the Shloshim, and then you have the Chuppah, the Bias Mitzvah, and the Shiva Simei Mishta. And there's a lot of Rishonim who hold that way. And within the group of that, within those Rishonim, there's another question which Rabbeinu Tam asks and discusses in this Tosis here, and a parallel Tosis in Moed Katan, and in Sefer Yashar, and that is, what about for a parent? Right? Let's say a person is in Avelus for a parent, does he have to wait himself to get married, not only Shloshim Yom, but maybe Yod Beis Chodesh? That's an interesting question. It's almost tantamount to asking the question.
How many chagim transpire? That's
what
it is. What? How many chagim transpire?
No, that's if you want to remarry after a wife dies. Yeah, we'll get that. That's also part of this topic, though. Yeah. That's you have three regalim. It's very fascinating because psychologically the idea is, again, it's These are regulars in experience, basically.
Are you talking about Sunnah or Kiddush?
I'm sorry?
When you say delay, are you talking about
Erisun? Well, let's say for the moment we're talking about Nisun. There's a debate about Erisun too. The Rambam happens to be of the opinion that when it comes to Erisun, you know, afilu biyom misa, afilu b'toch hashiva, afilu b'tishabav. But the Rambam doesn't quote Shemei Kad Menuach Er either. I think I mentioned this earlier in the year. But the Gemara in Moed Katan discusses it in terms of Moed and says Shemei Kad Menuach Er. The Yerushalmi discusses it in terms of Tishabav and says Shemei Kad Menuach Er. The Rambam wrote these halachos, he dropped the Shemei Kad Menuach Er, and he also said that it can apply even Tochim Eshiva. It's fascinating. With regard to the Nisuin, the Gemara in Moed Katan also makes a distinction. Tosis here has a long discussion about it. There's a distinction if there are banim katanim that need a parent, you know, parnasa. And there's a difference between somebody who's never been married or has no children, based more to the point, that needs to be mekayim mitzvah peri v'rivya, and someone who does not. So there are a lot of factors. But it's an interesting snapshot because it's a good way to figure out in halacha the role of the various phases of avelus. Now, Shiva, Shloshim, let's say, Yud Beis, Chodesh, is what's true for everybody else, for Shloshim, also true for a parent in Yud Beis Chodesh, or is there a qualitative difference? Well, we know that some of the Nihugim are different, right? So you might say, well, that proves that they're different. It's a concentric circle, but it's an outer one. Or maybe it's not even a concentric circle. Maybe it's a totally different Mechayev, which is what some others say as well. Kibud Avim. That's why they have these a number of tshuvas, including Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, that if a wife, let's say, is in Yud Beis Chodesh, you know, for a parent, she can accompany her husband, you know, to some sort of an engagement of some sort, a dinner, a wedding, or whatever, if it's something that is helpful to him, because her chiyuv of you know, kvod bala outweighs her chiyuv kvod you know, of avima. Now, if you see Yud Beis Chodesh in that way, then that makes sense. If you see it as a intense period or a concentric period, the period of avelus per se, not based on the mechayev of kibud avim, then that may be irrelevant. But you'll ask the question, if it really is, even if it's concentric, it's still an outer layer, it's not the same as the shloshim for everybody else, because you don't have the same yehugim. No one says that for a whole year you can't you know, do kvisa or shave or those kind of things. So the answer to that might be inachanami, that proves it. It's a just kibud avim, or it's a lesser avelus. But you might give a different answer, and that is no. Really, all things being equal, in principle, the lamed yom of one is the yud beis chodesh of the other. However, there's a concept in avelus that we know of that's called tokfal of avelus. In other words, there's a certain agmas nefesh, you know, an achzorius that you feel, you know, when the tumor, when the avelus is too long or it's too intense. And therefore, what you might explain is that in theory, this is an extension of the din shlosha, but you can't tell somebody, you know, that you have to let your hair grow for a year or you can't do laundry for a year. You know, you could tell somebody. You say, you tell people this all the time.
Judaism tells people to do a lot of things that are, you know,
who does? Well, meaning it's beyond the threshold. The point is this. We're going to get to this in a minute anyway. That there's no din in avelus of tzar.
Right.
You know, there's a din that you should forfeit. You know, you should abstain from pleasure. But abstaining from pleasure or not demonstrating, you know, life as usual, and, you know, idonin, as the Ramban uses the expression, is quite different than inflicting pain on people. There's a fine line. At what point do you move from one to the other? Sometimes it's in the tkifus of the avelus. In other words, if you have too much, that's why tokfal of avelus has certain dinim. Why? I mean, this avelus is different than that avelus. Why shouldn't you just, you know, be machmir? The answer is because it goes beyond what is appropriate. This is a fine line. Banim atem l'Hashem elokecha, right? To human dignity and a measure of you know, life, quality of life, and dignity is very critical to maintain even in a context of avelus. So it's a fine line, and if you cross over that line, then, you know, there are problems. And either way, that, you know, may dictate that what looks like, you know, something totally different is really a lessening or a moderating of the same. So this is this topic of Chas and Avel and how, you know, how we relate to Yud Beis Chodesh and Shloshim and how do we relate to the different relatives and so on. I can't do it now because it'll take me, you know, too many weeks. But it's an amazing opportunity to study the halacha's approach to, you know, the therapy and the propriety of issues of Avelis. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add something that Rabbi Bernstein says on one of his tapes, that when Rabbi Yoshe Ber was in Shiva for his wife, so Rabbi Teitz and Rabbi Hutner traveled together for Nichum Avelim, and they were discussing why is the Avelis for a parent, Yud Beis Chodesh, and
a child,
Shakwa from 30 days, the topic that you're talking about. So Rabbi Teitz suggested, because for all the other Kovim can find a substitute.
Yeah.
You have another brother, another child, but for a parent you can't.
Yeah.
Rabbi Hutner said, no, it has to do with the fact that you're one generation further away from Mamet Har Sinai.
Sarah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Anyway, this is a very fascinating topic. The whole topic is fascinating. Anyways, that's how we'll get chalo. Then the Gemara goes on and says,
when do we find the concept of shloshim by simcha?
Yeah.
Emon tachit and kol shloshim yom. Where is there a concept of shloshim by a simcha's chupa? Chosim kala. Shidas yimei mishta, I know.
Right. Well, there is a din of shloshim in
where do you see
the Gemara has it on Daf Chesam and Aleph with regard to Shasimcha B'mono.
Where?
Shasimcha B'mono.
Yeah.
That has a din of shloshim. Yeah. And of course, Ein Monim Tachshitim and Akal is a din in.
But
you can say Shasimcha B'mono up to 30 days, even if it's still Shalom Achmas Hilula. So that's what the Gemara says. And there are some Rishonim who think it's the same as true for Asher Bara, the last of the Sheva Brachos. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I said it, I think, last time, and I'll just discuss it again soon, which is, you know, with the Rambam, and we're going to read it in a minute, the Rambam, Hilchos Avelos, says, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Tiken Shiva Simei Avelos, you were asking me about it before, why it should be, why is it Shiva, not Shisha? But, right? And he's also Metakein. And the Rambam quotes it. In Hilchos Avelus, he quotes this halacha. Shiva Simei HaMishnah. It's really Yerushalmi. But it's fascinating that the Rambam quotes it because, you know, he doesn't quote everything. And it's the kind of thing that he might not have quoted. It's also fascinating that he quotes the whole phrase in Hilchos Avelus. Now, it's in Hilchos Avelus. He might have just said, Moshe Tikein Shiva Simei HaAvelus. And let him put Moshe Tikein Shiva Simei HaMishnah in Hilchos Ishas Parakyun. Or something like that. But he doesn't. So I have always taken this to mean, and you know, there are, I think, a lot of other rayas about it, that, you know, there is a parallel between the highs and the lows. You know, between the emotional extreme of loss and the emotional high of ecstatic joy. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with. Moshe Rabbeinu helped structure how it is that we express these two extreme emotions. It's important to understand that they're parallel and in two senses. Number one, it's important at the time of Simcha to remember, you know, that and to appreciate it and to put it in perspective by virtue of the parallel Avel and Tzar. And certainly that's true in the other direction as well. The times of lows where you think is all is, you know, is for naught. And you know, there's a sense of desolation and yeush. In a sense, it's important, you know, to remember, you know, to remember the good times and to know that they can return again. But I think, in addition to that, which I think is a very critical idea, is the idea that what I said before, which is the, you know, when a person's in balance and in equilibrium, you know, so he lives his life, you know, in a certain kind of a way, and that's usually how we are. That's what we're supposed to be, but there are intended to be, you know, highs and lows, and they need to be managed halachically, properly, and halachically therapeutically, if you could say it that way. And the way to do that is to understand, first and foremost, that the challenges are very parallel. So I don't think it's a coincidence, not only that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in both, but the structure, and that's what we were talking about a second ago, meaning in both Avelos and in Yimei Hamishtah and Simcha of Chasam Vakala, there are stages, 1, 3, 7, 30, and a year. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, the first day is a certain intensity, we'll get back to it in a minute. The first 3 days have a certain intensity. The first 7 days, the 30, what's that? In both. In Avelos for sure. In Avelos, we know. I mean, Yom Rishon is, we were talking before, Yom Biso Kvura, the day of Aninos usually. Right, 3 is Shlosh HaLebechi. Also, the first day is also Perach HaChavish HaLecha, is Tefillin. The 7 is Shiva, Shloshim Yud Beis Kodesh, that we know. But in Simcha too, as we'll see, there are some who think that, Alman Shanas Almana, so it's Echa the Bracha, Gimel the Simcha. There's a discussion in the Yad Ramah, quoted by the Rosh, which I hope we'll get to today, that suggests that Shiva Simei Mishnah, the first day is Daraisa. Only the first day, maybe. So the significance to what? The 3, I mentioned Almon V'Almana. Or the Almana, Almana has a Shloshel Simcha, even though it has only Achas, or Echad rather, Lebracha. Then you have the 7, the 30, and the Yud Beis Kodesh. So I think that the structure is not coincidental. I think it's because you have to know how to integrate a Simcha, and you have to know how to integrate a loss. In both cases, these are not the norms, but you have to know how to bring them into your life to, give perspective to the norm. And that is not a straightforward hierarchical... Number one, it's a process of stages, and the stages each need to be identified and implemented. And number two, it's not always a straight linear hierarchy either, by which I mean, it's not all, less... Start off with, intense pain, less... you start off with intense ecstatic joy, less. That's not the way it goes. As we know, it's sometimes 2 steps forward and 1 step backwards. Sometimes it's 1 step forward, 2 steps backwards. Especially, it's more obvious in Avel, things that, you think you're getting over something, and then, a different kind of experience or stage, or by getting over one stage, it hits home harder that there's something else. And that's true on a simcha level, too. There's an awareness at a certain point. There's the moment of the actual event, and then there's the retrospective, and there are anniversaries along the way, and so on, where you get more perspective, and it changes the way you look at the whole. So the halacha, I think, was extremely sensitive to all that. And these issues, like this is a great topic because Chasan Avel is somebody who's experiencing both at the same time. And how we manage that is fascinating. So Avalip Chalo, according to most Rishonim, is... at least a clear, change in priority. In other words, if it's Aviv Shel Chasan and Ima Shel Kala, so you go ahead, you do, Machnisan Sameis Cheder, you do Chuppah, you do Bilas Mitzvah, you do Zayin Yimei Mishta, and only then you get back to the Avelos and so on. But in the other case, it's the exact opposite. You do Kvura, you do Avel, right? Maybe even Shloshim, and then you do the Chuppah, the Bilas Mitzvah, and the Zayin Mishnah. But the Rif, this is what I wanted to bring to your attention, disagrees. Rif, the Ritzgeus, the Bahag, they came up with a very big Chiddush. They say Avalip Chalo doesn't mean that. Avalip Chalo means, it's much more subtle. What it means is, you go ahead with the wedding, even in Ip Chalo. Machnisin Esameis Cheder, you delay the Kvura. You make the wedding, your bol bilas mitzvah, even, right? And then that's where the difference comes in. You do Shiva Simei Avelos, and then you do Shiva Simei Mishnah. Which is fascinating because it means that you disentangle, right, the Shiva Simei Mishnah from the chuppah. It's not a simple thing.
Would there be nafkamina by Yisur Yichud between the two approaches?
Say that one more time.
Well, because if you finish everything by the Avelos, and then you do the... You're finished with the Avelos, you do the Kvura, Avelos, and then you do the Shiva Simei Mishnah.
Oh, I see.
So maybe there's...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if there wouldn't be any
Yisur Yichud. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, good question, so, before.
One comment.
In the time when I got married, which seems eons ago, decades ago, the practice among Misnagdim to have Shivas Yomei Mishter was rare. We typically had...
What do you mean?
Simply to have Shevet Brachos for 7 days was unusual.
Well, you don't need Shevet Brachos for 7 days. There's Brachos and there's Yomei Mishter, in other words.
So, I mean, simply the idea of having a simcha 7 days where the chassan and the kallah celebrated with the group was. I don't know if it's true of other communities. Certainly, I don't think it was true of the city community, but I think of the Misnagdish community seemed to be true. The other question, I don't know, I got married must have been around the time that I did.
We have prosperity now. That's the difference.
Maybe.
There's only two kosher restaurants.
The other point.
It's an interesting point, but yeah.
To talk about, and you know, I'm not known for being a very frivolous person, but the idea of the.
You may want to leave that for us to judge.
Yeah, right. The idea of the diminution in the simcha goes very well with the three rings of marriage: the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring.
he couldn't resist. Okay. What?
We worked out.
Yeah, I hear. Well, it's not the kind of thing that pops in your mind. Okay. So let's. This is the Gemara. So the big question that we need to recognize here is as follows. This is where I want to go to the next day. This is the Gemara. I'm just going to go. There's a fascinating Shaklam Atari, which we read last time. I don't want to go back into that. I just want to get to the bottom line of Dalano Beis because it's going to be relevant. And Dalano Beis, the Gemara, wants to figure out this other part of the puzzle. The other part of the puzzle is the Gemara says, "Hu Yashem Ben Anashim, Hi Sheina Ben Anashim." And the Gemara says, "I don't understand why that's true when we have a rule that if a person gets married and there's a Pirsa Nida, she's a Nida at the time of the Chuppah, so then there's an Isra Yichud, right? And you have to make allowance for that. However, if they were together even, you know, once, and then she becomes an Nida, then we trust them together." I mean, in other words, you know, marital life would be very, very awkward, obviously. So, if that's the case, here we're talking about a situation where, you know, it was machnisin as a mesel cheder, a chasin as a kal lechupa, it was bal bilas mitzvah, and then poresh. The poresh means that they are, you know, they have to abstain, you know, from any kind of marital intimacy until after the shiva. That's fine. But what do you mean? Hu yashem ben anashim yishena ben anashim? Why do you need? Why is there an isra yichud? That's the question. So that's what the Gemara debates back and forth. So at the very end of the Gemara says the following. Amar Ravashi, or Ravashi Amar. Everybody have it? On Dalarum Beis. Mika medamas avelusa, the hachala avelusa, the alma. Are you really comparing this avelusa, the regular avelus? Avelusa, the alma, chomir, filo asil is azule be. Avelus de haka kivada kilube rabbanon asil zalzule be. The Gemara says this is a unique case, meaning chasan avel is a unique case. Only here are we concerned that there should be an isur yichud, not in a regular case of avelus. Why? Because in a regular case of avelus, we treat it very seriously, and therefore, you know, we're not concerned that people are going to violate. But here, we're already making a lot of concessions. We're being mezalzel, in a way, in this situation. And therefore, in order to protect the integrity of what's going on here, we need to be more machmir. Okay. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? What's the kula here? My kula. Here's a very fascinating little couple of lines. The Gemara says, Ilei midagatani bo bilas mitzu poresh, because we made a concession and we allowed Maisabia, also Mishim Dlochala Avelus, Avelusa. That's because he wasn't an Avel yet. So it's not a Kula in the Avelus up here, it's just a non, it's pre-Avelus, right? Il Rabbi Lazar Adjason Pesach Beitzo, Pesach Abayis rather, Il Rabbi Yeshua Adjista Magolel. There's a debate. When does Avelus begin? And when do the Yisutash Mishamita therefore begin? Whatever these things mean. Elik de katani noik shivis mea mishta v'achkak noik shivis mea velus. So the Gemara says, no, there is a kula in the avelus itself, and that is the fact that we delay the avelus until after shivis mea mishta, even after the kula. Okay. But what I'm interested in is not the last line of the Gemara, but the second last line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's a kula in the avelus here. There's no kula in the avelus hasn't begun yet. So what about the aninos? Right? So basically the question, what about the aninos, is the question in the very beginning of the Gemara and in the very end of the Gemara. In the very beginning of the Gemara, because what does the Gemara say? That you should be machnis sameis l'cheder, sechos v'sekalu l'chupa, bo bilas mitzvah, poresh, right? Then you do kvura, and then if it's av shochasan v'yimashokala, then you do zayin yimei mishta, zayin yimei avelus, right? What does that mean? That we're allowing the heter of bias mitzvah bizman haninus. And we're not allowing it. We don't allow you to do the kvura first. I mean, why not just say, do the kvura, kavod ames, right? We don't like halanas ames. Do the kvura, then do the chuppah, and the bias mitzvah. Aye, because tashmish shamita is one of the iser of one of the Nihuge Avelos. And so what about Aninos? Oh. So here, you should be aware that there's this major debate between the Rambam and the Ramban. Right? The Rambam seems to be a very strict constructionist that Aninos L'chud and Avelos L'chud. These are two different ideas, two different stages, right? The Rambam here, if we look at our sheets for a moment, look at Hilchos Avel. Look at Perek Aleph Halach. This is on page set 7. This is page 1. And it's at line number 12. Okay, I'm just going to take a couple minutes to show you the argument here, and then we'll see what the implication of each in the Gemara. Me'emes ha'yishchai v'adam be'evel. When does Avelus begin? Like our Gemara just said, right? Lishiyista magola. That's a machlokus, what that means. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they close the coffin, or they built a matzev on the coffin, whatever it is. Avokozman shalonik barameis. As long as there's no kvura, this is the equivalent of kvura. Ein osu bedavar min advarim sha'avel osu bahen. There's no isure or lihuge avelus. Mepnei tamze rachatz david v'sach kishameis ha'yela terim shikaver. Even though sicha and rechitza are prohibited for an avel, right? When he was an onen, he was an onen, he wasn't an avel. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam's basically saying, don't be misled, aninus l'chud and avelus l'chud. And dine avelus begin after kvu. Then if you look at Parak Hei of Hilchos Avelus Halacha Aleph, try on the next page. Yeah. This is on line 7 of page 2. The Rambam lists the things that begin at kvura that are associated with avelus. Elu devarim she'avel asa bahem. B'yom rishon min haTorah b'shayom min divrayim. Get back to that. Asa l'saper, haircut. L'chabes, to launder. Lirchotz, to wash. L'such, to, you know, to apply lotions. L'shamesh mitaso. Linol es hasandol. Lazas v'lacha. Likros b'Torah. Lizkov es hamita. Lifro es rosho. Sholoshol. Hakol achad asar davar. 11 things. So it's clear. If you put together Perek Hei Halacha Aleph and Perek Aleph Halacha base, that the Rambam seems to be saying pretty clearly that the Yud Aleph Devarim of Avelus do not begin at Aninus, they only begin at Avelus. Right? So let's say it this way. According to the Rambam, mostly our Gemara makes a lot of sense. Why? Because there are two questions in the Gemara that we're discussing. One is, what is the Gemara talking about? Why is it better to delay kvura, right, in order to do chuppah and bias mitzvah? He's an onen. Ah, you'll say, but otherwise he's an avel. So who says being an onen is less of a problem than being an avel? In fact, you might think the opposite. Anin of their pit, some rishonim will think that all of avelus is drabbanan, Moshe Tikein, right? There are others who think that the Yom Kvura Umisa, the first day, if it's also the day of Misa and Kvura together, doesn't always happen. But if you have them the same exact day, then the Avelus there is Daraisa. But otherwise, the Dini Avelus are pretty much Drabana. But Aninus is mostly Daraisa. The Din of Anilal Chalti Boni Mimen is a Pasuk in Chomesh, but Maisa Sheni, extended to Trumos, right? And Korbanos, they're allowed to Makriv Onen, right? So those are Dinim Daraisa. The Mishnah says in third parak of Brachos, Misha Mesamut Lefanov, Asur, right? He's not. He's an Onen, basically, or the Patur. Me kriyeshma, me tefila, me tefila, me komet samuras patora. That's Misha Meitzamut Lefanov. That's an Onen, right? There's actually a very interesting debate there about the nature and scope of this halacha. Rashi seems to say it's a heter. When we say patur me kriyeshma, me tefila, me komet samuras patora, it means it's up to you, but you don't have to. The Balei Tosfos disagree. They say the issue here is not whether or not you're exempt or you're preoccupied or osek, kind of an osek mitzvah, patur mitzvah. Rather, it's, you know, the psukim speak about chayim, chayacha. So Judaism is a life embracing religion. And there are certain things that you're not supposed to be involved in or in engaging in when you're in a low state, when you're in a state of contemplating mortality and purpose. When you're paralyzed and you can't move forward, then there are certain things that are inappropriate. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you hold like the Rambam, right? So we can say very simply, Aninus l'chud and Avelus l'chud. So if that's the case, so why is it that we don't, jump immediately to the kfura and do the tashma shamita at the time of the, at the time of the avelus, not necessarily the time of the aninus, right? That's the question. The answer is, according to the Rambam, even though Aninus is more Daraisa than Avelus, and even though, you know, Aninus is Poter Mitzvah Satorah, maybe that's according to the Rishalmi and Balei Tosfos because Judaism is life-affirming, right? And all these things, nonetheless, when it comes to Nihuge Avelus, very specifically, these are dinim that have to do with Avelus and not Aninus. Similarly, in the end of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, what's the kula that you're talking about in Avelus that should require you to have a shomer, right? An isu yichud. So the Gemara says, oh, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we go ahead with the chuppah, right? And the bilas mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's a din in Avelus, that's not a din. That's a din in Aninus, not a din in Avelus. It's prior to the Kavura. So according to the Rambam, both the first part of the Gemara, where the Gemara bypasses the option of Tashem Shamita Bavelus and prefers Tashem Shamita for Aninus, and the second half of the Gemara, or the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara basically says, don't bring me proofs from Aninus to Avelus. These are two different stages, right? Those two work very well according to the Rambam. There's only one thing that doesn't work well according to the Rambam. That is the words of Al Ibchalo. Because why not? What's the problem?
Right,
there's no Isra Tashu Shamita. If there's no Isra, why can't you do it? So maybe the answer to that is there may be no Isra Tashu Shamita per se, but the idea that you would delay a Kavura, right, cover a mace, you know, in order to for the sake of Tashu Shamita, that is a bizoyan amaze. That's a different story. You had a question, yeah?
Yeah, I presume that Rambam spells out somewhere exactly what are the hilas aninus.
Yeah, a little bit. Again, mostly they're strewn all over the place, meaning he has stuff in his Karbanos and Maisa Sheni and so on. But he does have a line in Perek Yalav, Halacha Kas, I think, where he does talk about the Isur Basar V'Yayin. The Isur Basar V'Yayin in Aninus is a very good example, and also because, I mean, as I said, there's a big debate between Rashi and Tosas, possibly Yerushalmi and the Babli, others, whether the Dinim of Aninus, certain Dinim of Aninus, are pragmatic, because you're supposed to be Osik, Bekim, Bekvur, Sameis, or they're more existential. Put it that way.
So I was, my other question was, if it really can hinge on how you define Aninus, without going into Machlokes Din Rashi, between the Rambam and whoever argues with him, but simply if Aninus is, he's not Osik, Bitzarche, Ameis, in this case, what we're doing is precluding him halakhically from being Osek Bitzarche Ameis, and therefore he's not known him, if that's the definition of Aninus.
Right. So we'll get to that in just a second. That's very good. That's what the Ritva is going to say. We'll see that in just a second. 100%. Yeah.
Why is it called a Bilus Mitzvah if he's an Onan? He's part of from all the mitzvahs.
Could you speak a little louder?
Well, it's still... me, or...
No, I didn't hear what you
said. I said he's Potter from all the mitzvahs. He's an Onan. Why call it a Boil Bilus Mitzvah? And since he's Potter, you shouldn't be engaged in...
Well, he may not have the mitzvah of Bila, but it is called... It's called... The Chefta of Bia Rishona is called...
Yeah, but he's part of the mitzvah. So.
Right, right. The Gavra.
Okay.
But what? But it's the act is still, it is considered the Be'ilas mitzvah. Right?
Yeah, but he's part of it. You shouldn't be engaged in this.
Well, so we'll see in a moment. That's, if we take the suggestion that he's not really Potter because he's not involved in the Kvura yet, then he's not really Potter.
No, but you said,
but
you
I'm said, saying you said something
there was
else.
One position that said that it's usur to do the mitzvahs, right? Rashi says that
if for an onane,
he's
but,
exempt.
But
he's
that still may be an onane who's
but he's
defined.
An onane. He's
right, right. But that's an
so
onane. That's a regular onane who's Misha Mesomot Telefanov.
Okay, but this is
who's involved in the Kvura. Maybe here he's not supposed to be involved in the Kvura. For example, I'll just give you one other example. That is, you know, the in Sugit Brachos, they talk also about, you know, the Isra Basar V'Yayin for an onane, and then the Tosis has the famous story about Rabbeinu Tam. You know, when Rabbeinu Tam's sister died, he was in a different city, and his brother-in-law was on top of it, or something like that. So he was, you know, sitting home eating basar v'yayin, very proud of the fact. What?
Wasn't on Yom Tov Rabbeinu Tam's?
No.
Was
no. This story?
Yes.
I don't think so. Was it?
Yeah, but that's the sister.
Reason,
maybe your father's different.
No, no. So the view of Rabbeinu Tam is that the prohibition of basar v'yayin is a function of mishameis hamotelefanav of esek b'kvura. And since he was in a different city and he wasn't being osek b'kvura, there was no such issue. Now the Ra'ah, earlier, the Ramban and Taurus Adam disagree. They think that the Isur basar v'yayin is a din in onen. It's part of the shlav of Avelos.
I'm saying that Bas V'Yayin is not a mitzvah, but to be Bo Avelos mitzvah is a mitzvah. He's part of a mitzvah.
Right, but all I'm trying to show you is, we'll see in the Ritva in a minute, but all I'm trying to say is, it still may be contingent upon the Hagdara of Esek B'Kfuras Ameis. And if the Halacha doesn't want you to be Osek B'Kfuras Ameis now, because you're supposed to be getting married now, then there's still no Hagdara and or Poter, or Oser.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. Anyways, the point I want to make is that for the Rambam, who seems clearly to have a clear demarcation between Onen and Avel, right, both in terms of, you know, the difference, it's a little complicated, because Aninus is still more Daraisa and more Chomor in certain things, and Avelus in other things. But still, when it comes to Inyanei Avelus, they don't begin Bishas Misa, they don't apply to Onen. Therefore, the beginning of the Gemara is good, the end of the Gemara is good. Only problem in the Gemara is Avalip Chalo, and now we've explained also in terms of Bizayon Hameis. Now, we may revise our view of the Rambam's absolute clarity and the demarcation of these subjects in a minute, but that's what we seem to be looking at right now. However, the Ramban disagrees strongly. The Ramban is of the opinion that the Isur Tashmish Amita applies already also Bizman Aninus. That's the Ramban too. The Ramban says the only thing that doesn't apply to Bizman Aninus is Kfias Hamita, Ni'ilas Hasandal, right, and Atifas Harosh. They certainly do not apply Bizman Aninus. And the Ramban, as we'll soon see in a moment, discusses that too. But if that's the case, that there's an Iser Tashmish Amita for an Onain, right? So then we have two serious problems in the Gemara, right? The beginning and the end. Number one, in the beginning, why does the Gemara prefer seemingly the Bizayin of Mesa Machnisa Nisa Mesa Cheder in order to accomplish Machnisa Nisa Chosan Vakala L'chupa Bol Bielas Mitzvah before the Poresh? Why not just do the right thing? Do the Kvura, then do the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah. Ah, you'll say, but you're an Ari Novel, and you can win your Novel. That's what Rashi says in the bottom here. If you look at Rashi in the bottom, is it in the bottom? 1 second. I'm on the wrong page. Bottom of Gimel and Beis, Rashi says, Avi shel chasson, ima shel kala, dafke nokan avi shel chasson, shua torech b'tzarchei su'uda, Ima Shokala Hiya Mechina Takshitin, right, the special roles that they play. Lefika Chamyavar Hamoed Shuv Ein Mechin Lahem. V'tiru Lahem L'Hachnis is Hameis L'Cheder, says Rashi. They allowed this delay of the Kvura, Shelo Yikvaruhu Dim Kain Chalav Elus Al Ha'avel V'stimas Gola V'shuv Loyacha Lichnos Ad Sheyavar Ha'avelus. Because if you allow the Kvura to take place, it triggers the Avelus, and then you're in trouble. You can't do anything. But according to the Ramban, that an Onein is also Betasha Shamita, and yet, right, the Bilas Mitzvah overrides Aninus, why shouldn't it override also Avelus? That's the question. Moreover, in the end of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, oh, this particular case of Avelus is more Mekel, and therefore we're worried that you're going to be Mezalzel, and therefore we're worried and we impose the limit of Iser Yichud, right? So then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's no kula in this Avelus. The only kula here is before the Kvura, and that's Aninus. So Bishlam of the Rambam, who says Aninus l'chud and Avelus l'chud, that makes sense. But according to the Ramban, who basically is saying that the Isur of Tashma Shemitah applies Bein Bub Avel, Bein Bub Onein, right, so what? Just, you're going to stand on technicality? Great. The kula here, you know, is Bizman Aninos and not Bizman Avelus. But still, basically, it's Mizalzel. That's according to the Rambam, there's no Kula at all. Here there's a Kula, and they're like, okay, so it's 10 minutes earlier. It means this whole mace, presumably. What's going on? That's the question. That's the issue that bothers us.
According to the Rambam, Avelus and Aninos are at the same level that both derives from both of them. According to the Rambam.
Oh, so we'll get to that in a second. I'm going to revise the Ramban a little bit too. But let's look at the Ramban just for a minute, just so you'll see part of it. Look at the Ramban, page 2. This is from, you know, as you know, hopefully, the Ramban wrote a book called Torah Sa'ada, or a very long essay. It's the Ramban, you know, when he does these things, you just appreciate him even more, just like in his Perush Al HaTorah, his Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah. So this is a magnificent chibur that the Rambam wrote about, you know, the Ramban wrote on in Yoni Avelus, Pika Cholim, Shara Gemul is part of this. That's part of the whole, his treatment of these, you know, very critical life issues. So the Ramban says here, look at number 11. No, 1 second. No, skip that. I'm going to get back to that. I take that back. Look at number 19, or 18, 19. Taurus Adam Shar Ha'evil. These are different places. Inyan Ha'evels. Well, the Inyan She'ula the She'ula Kadbechun. Is quoted in the Ramban. The question that you asked. Lama lo chevu ba'evelus b'shemesam butalafanav shehu ikar aninus. Why aren't you chayv ha'evelus already from the time of aninus? The ikar mimarusa shel Adam. Aninus is the height of bitterness. Malav k'sivacharisa kiyo omar, a bitter day. Oh. Says Ramban, yishlom advadei noi gubim mikzas dibre avelus. You're right. Aninus does have dine avelus. Aser berchitza, besicha, kavachomer machilas basar v'shtiyas yayin. That's also fascinating. Because again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Isur of Shtiyas Yayin and Achilas Basar is this distraction issue. It distracts you from Kvuras Hameis. not because it's prohibited per se. The Ramban here associates the Isur of Achilas Basar and Shtiyas Yayin as a din in Idonin of Avelus, Bishas Aninos. It's an intense form of Avelus already Bishas Aninos. Fascinating. The Achila Kol Tzarka Nam Yasru Alav, gluttonous eating also. Okay? Vein Tzarka Lomar Shasar B'Sim Kol B'Tzis Boras. Certainly you're not allowed to exchange pleasantries or be happy, and you're not allowed to take a haircut. Where does it say that anywhere? Nowhere. Norm doesn't think it's true. He might not advise it, maybe because I'm amazed, but definitely
why,
not.
Why is the Achila Kol Tzarka gluttonous?
Why what?
Why is that expression gluttonous? Achila Kol Tzarka.
I'm saying certainly gluttonous. No, this is the Rambam's way of saying, I mean the Ramban's way of saying that Achilas Basar and Shtiyas Yayin.
No, but after that he said Achila Kol Tzarka Nami Osurlo.
Even regular Achila Kol Tzarka.
Not gluttonous.
Kol Tzarka. Okay. I mean you should be mamayed a little bit by Achila. Yes. That's a big kiddush. The Ramban doesn't say that anywhere. Ain't Tzar Kolomo Shasub Simcha B'Tisparas. Below Tikshilach Misha Nimsal Rabim the Mutar Lecha Basar V'Lishtos Yayin. Ah, but Misha Nimsal Rabim. Right, you're allowed to do this. Kivin Shena Mutal of the Kavro, because he's not involved in the Kavro. The Mekamakom Be'idonin the Simcha Asar. Anything that is an extra, right, or something that expresses Simcha, that is prohibited. The Asar B'Shel the Shalom Shafakem. Asurim kishemes beir, the malach anami, imalach atzma filo acherim asurim. Amu shehu asur leishev afilo amita kfuya el gabe karko tzarich leishev yasin on the ground. Lo amru elishen acholitz mindal v'sandal v'enem ante farosh v'enu chay bekvias amitosa. The only things that are excluded from aninos that are applying to avelas, unlike the Rambam who said all 11 don't apply, are the three that I mentioned: tifas arosh. Why? Be'elu akilo alav mipneishu tarud iske ames mutal alav lekavro v'le lechimo meir leir. These interfere with the kvura more directly. Otherwise, they would be prohibited. Mishas misa too. Fascinating. A whole different perspective on the relationship of aninus and aves. Im basal hachmer le bchalita sando mino the tifas arosh af iske ames nifsad im bekach the pika chloek miro lebeila chim blacha and so. So what does Ramban say very clearly? Tasha shamita is included among the prohibitions of aninus.
Well, what is that?
But if that's the case, then the question returns: why do we prefer to delay the kvura? So the Ramban himself gives an answer, not in this section, but another one. Yeah.
What does tifas arosh mean?
What is that tifas arosh?
Yeah, what does that mean?
You're supposed to cover your head.
So that's a symbol.
Wear like something.
That's a symbol of our veils to cover.
Yeah. So we don't do that today. They say today, you know, that.
Wear a black hat.
What?
Wear a black hat.
Well, some people do wear a big hat, but. Yeah. You know, we don't actually have this minhag today anymore. But that's one of the things the Gemara quotes as one of the Yidalim.
Cover your forehead, cover your head.
Yeah.
What? A scarf over their head.
Yeah, it's a sign of inwardness and, you know, kind of hachna'a, basically. Oh. V'chein dera'od sh'ikar avelus min ha'torah eina ela bin idonin gon rechitza sikha tashim shamita simcha tfilin shein per t'chboses t'spores t'simcha heim. Right? The Avelus Kishma. Avelus is like it sounds. Shalay Sasek Bidvarm Shal Simcha El Bidvarm Shal Avelus. Zewa Nina Shabalev Shabin Lamdu Shalay Sasek Bidvarm Shal Simcha. Avamino Sando Batifa Enemina Torah Shalamar Torah Lano Salatzar Atzmo Minuga Shalalam Lefika Kil Velo Adshi Kaber. Meaning, the difference is not just that these are necessary for the Kvura, but that these aren't just the abstaining from idonin, they're being mitza'er es atzmo. You don't have to do that. And therefore, when it came to the onain, they dropped those three, because they're just a little more than is necessary. Okay. What do we do with the Ramban? That becomes a big mitzvah, a big issue. And then he quotes the next thing: "V'hutam ba'atzma l'mashamru ba'avel yotzad derech no mashamru chasim ba'al bilas mitzvah parish lo asur b'shim shan nusa b'zet Torah b'neishe bilas mitzvah nami asay shol Torah." Kedatan b'lach t'chav aderech prat l'chasan b'dochu zem epnei zem. So he's basically asking the question, saying, "Yeah, but we need to do it. But why do we need to do it in aninus and not in avelus?" Sounds like maybe there really is a difference, even despite the fact that he thinks that dina avelus apply to aninus. Anyways, before we get back to the Ramban, let's look a minute at the Ritva, which I alluded to. Hopefully, it's here. Yeah, on page one, the first entry. So the Ritva addresses this question and says something very novel. Machnitsin is a mesa kebs khatan the kal khopa. Kirish Rashi, Shilo ayu kover in the Sunday, so we just read. The Chalal of Avelas, the Shuvia Shalas is cooked in Tamar. Nay, the Chalal of Taras Avelas, Kadam Kvur, Mikamakam Hare Chala, Allah Vaninus. The Misha Mesa with the fun of Asabi and Basavi Ayimitash Amita. So what comes out? What is the Ritva saying? An Onain also has its prohibition of Tashamita. What do you gain by delaying the Kvura? Either way, you have to at some point do Bilas Mitzvah, right? You could either do it by Aninus or Bavelus. So according to the Rambam, great! You should do it by Aninus because there's no such Isur. It's only Isur Bavelus. But according to the Ramban, according to the Ritva, this is a disaster, this question. So the Ritva says an amazing thing. Yeshlomar debaninus akilu, vaso kilu nisyayish melikovro. Shumuta b'basa v'yayin v'tashm shamita k'di isa hasam v'chein pirshu b'tosas. Ritva basically says the following. It's true that an onain is asur b'tashm shamita, but that's only when he has a shame onain. And what is a shame onain? Mishamei samut alafanav. He has a chi of kvura. He's osek b'kvura. If he's osek b'kvura, then he has a shame, a status of an onain, and he's asur b'tashm shamita. But here, what we're saying is that he shouldn't be Oseik B'Kvura. We're saying Machnisin is a Meis L'Cheder. So therefore, he's not an Onain. If he's not an Onain, then there's a Heter Gamur, right, to be involved in Bias Mitzvah. So what comes out of the Ritva? A reassessment or a revising of the Ramban. Because the pashtus of the Ramban is, when the Ramban says that everything except for three, right, applies already at the time of Aninus, the pashtus is that it's not because he's an onain and Misha Mesa Mutalafana, it's because Misa really triggers the Dini Avelus. Right? Then the point is, you might think, well, if that's true, so it's going to apply, but only to the extent that, you know, it doesn't interfere with the ability to do kvura, ativas arosh, kvias amita, and ilas hasanta. But if that's the case, and misa is a mechayev, it's not the shame onain, right? So then again, we're back to square one. What's the difference between aninus and avelus in this matter? But the Ritva is telling us a new chiddush. The Ritva is saying it's true dine avelus applied by aninus. But they only apply b'toras onain. It's not that misa is koveya, it's that aninus is koveya. That's number one. And number two is, what is aninus? Aninus is misha meis mutalafanam. Esek b'kvura. Is there esek b'kvura in this case? No, because we want him to get married. We want him to be bol bias mitzvah poresh. So therefore, says the Ritva, I can be in the Ramban's camp, and I can still have an amazing, just a wrinkle, that makes the sugya perfect according to me. Right? Avelus is also b'tashm shamita. There's no hagdara or shame. It's just across the board. And therefore, you can't do it in this particular case. But aninus, even though there is an isur of tash shamita, nonetheless, is b'toras mishamesim b'tulafanam. They can... That's something that can be accomplished. Okay. Now, in light of this, I wanted to go back and look at the Rambam and Ramban and see whether or not maybe there's more to to them than we think as well. Now, until now, we've been saying that there are three shitas, right? There's the Rambam who holds that Avilas Lechud, Aninus Lechud, they have nothing to do with each other. He can read our Gemara very well. There's the Ramban who says they basically overlap in Misa's Mechayev, seemingly, and therefore our Gemara is very problematic, beginning and end for the Ramban. And then there's the Ritva who has a perfect equilibrium, a perfect shot. And that is, every stage in mourning is its own existential, he doesn't say these words, but a category. And has its own nuances. And maybe, what I think anyway is, there's not even an obvious linear hierarchy, like I said before. Right? Misha Mesavotel Defanav has to deal with the enormity of a change in reality. Right? And the loss per se. Moreover, he's somebody who, on one level at least, confronts his own mortality by virtue of the fact that he, you know, is involved with death. You know, the Rav in his essay Isha Halacha has a lot about death. He talks about how Reb Chaim was terrified of death, and he used to, you know, study Dinei Olos and Avelos, you know, as a way of, you know, kind of immersing himself in those halachos, you know, to therapeutically, get over that. It's a very fascinating thing, the whole different stages. So, as I said before, the ability to manage the different stages of suffering and of mourning and of crisis is a difficult thing. The reason that, you know, as the Rav describes it, the Ish Halacha has such a problem with death is because death is confronting mortality is a paralyzing kind of a thing. It's inconsistent with a life embracing philosophy of Yahadus. In a sense, when you confront death, you want to just stop, and you don't think life can move on and can be what it was or what your aspirations for it, will ever make it in the future. At least that's how one should feel at the point of a loss. It's also akzari to be misabel yosemidai. It shows a lack of balance and faith in the Ribbono Shalom, and you have to be able to get out of it. So you have to fully experience it in all of its, different components. So again, the first component, the aninus, is the loss itself. Also, dealing with kvuras ames is complex. Right, it's therapeutic on the one end. You feel like you're doing something. You're relating still to the body, but it's an empty body. It's a shell now, right? But the kavod ames, the fact that it needs a kvura, there's something soothing about it, even as there's something, scary and terrifying about it as well. Both are true. I mean, there's no stira, between them. Then comes the kvura, bishayista magolel. You can almost, hear the final, noises associated with the closing of the kever, right? That's when Avelus begins. Right. You can think of it as the beginning of re-engaging with life and the end of the paralysis. But it's as I say, it's two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two step backs in some cases. There's no longer a goof, so there's not even that. There's no longer anything constructive to be doing. It's a very inward, it's a more inward time in a way. So the merirus, v'achrisa ki yomar, is less. That's what the shikcha, baruch Hashem. At the same time, the challenge in one another respect is greater. So that's perhaps what the Ritva has in mind, in saying there are nihugei avelus for an onein, and there are nihugei avelus for an avel. It's not just the din that misa, triggers all the nihugei avelus or 8 out of 11 nihugei avelus. That's not what's going on there. There's a avelus of avelus, and there's an avelus of an onein. The question is, does the Rambam and Ramban, do they really disagree in their two other shittos so radically with this idea? Yeah.
Well, what are the ikolo component, if it's not mesem utulofano, so even imashokhasen, why can't you just put her into a machnitzel achedra so she's not mutulofano?
Right.
And then you can have the chupa and the bilas mitzvah. the Ipcholo component.
Yeah.
How does that work with the read from the Ramban?
I thought the Ipcholo component is much more of a problem for the Rambam. Ipcholo for the Ramban and the Ritva is really easy.
Why?
Because there's an Iser Tashma Shamita for an Onain, unless you have the urgency to do the Kvura, but you don't have the urgency, unless you have the urgency not to do the Kvura.
Only when it's Matulafanov.
It is Matulafanov.
Not Matulafanov.
No, not if you say Ipcholo.
Why can't you?
Because there's not enough of financial loss to.
But still put the chos, the mother of the chosin in the cheder is not Matulafanov. So there wouldn't be any Yisrael.
No. Oh, I see. You're interpreting Matulafanov.
Literally.
Literally? That's not the pshat. I mean, Matulafanov just means the chovas kvura.
I thought that's where you put in the cheder. You should be Matulafanov.
No. You have to have a justification of delaying. So in the case of Avin Shal Chasan V'Ima Shal Kala, you have a justification. That is, you're indispensably, you're losing the indispensable, right. You know, father of the Chasan, mother of the Kala.
Right.
You don't have that in Ipcholo. So therefore it is Mishameh Sumut. I didn't understand that you meant physically.
Okay.
It is Mishameh Sumut Lafanov, and then all the Dine Aninus turn into Avelus as well. Anyways, what I want to mention is the following. So I think that both the Rambam and Ramban are a little more complicated as well, and they come closer together, although there's still a big machlokas, the Meisim is a big machlokas between them. Oh, so let me just document this in each case. In the case of the Rambam, the Rav used to speak about this a lot, it's already very evident from Halacha Aleph. Perek Aleph, Hikos Ovel, Evel Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh, Lizabal Alakrobim, Shenemar, Be'achalti, Chatas Hayom, Hayita Be'enei Hashem. Now this is Hichos Avelus. And the Rambam's beginning with Dine Avelus, not Dine Aninus, right? And yet what's the pasuk that he quotes? Achalti chatas hayom, hayita b'enei Hashem. That's the exchange of? What? In the aftermath of the Misa of Nadav Aviyu, the whole discussion, right, between Moshe and Aaron and Elazar and Yisamar, right? This is a matter of Aninus. As an onain, should I be eating or being makri of the korban chatos, right? Veina velus min haTorah, says the Rambam, el biyom rishon levad shu yom hamisav yom hakvura al v'shar hashiva einam din Torah. Right. That's the Rambam continues and says, Avah bishenemer b'Torah v'yas la'aviv evel shivas yamim. Maybe that's another reason, right? 7 days. That's what I was referring to before by the Yerushalmi. The question everybody asks is, how come the Rambam's quoting Aninus Psukim when he's talking about Avelus, particularly when he thinks that Avelus is the Chud and Aninus is the Chud? Right? Oh. So, and what is Aninus? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Rambam quotes this halacha as well, look at halacha tes, line 16. Kol aruge malchus hafa bishin ergu b'din ha-melech, ha-torah nitna rishus lahargon, ha-elim is ablam alvein monum mehem kol davar, u-mamonum la-melech, v'nikmarim b'kiri al-vaseim. If you die at the hand of the king, or the government, per se, right, you don't lose your status in terms of avails and kavur. I will call a ruge bezdin, but if you're put to, given the, you know, you're executed because you violated dine Torah that requires your execution, not dine melech, right? Ein mis ablim aleim, aval onanim. There's no avelus, but there is aninus. And what is aninus? She ein aninus is basically a sugya in Sanhedrin. Ein aninus ela b'leiv. Ein aninus ela b'leiv. Okay. So Aninus is an emotional state, a state of, you know, existential angst, one might say. So why is the Rambam quoting it in Perek Aleph Halacha? Very strange. Another Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha. Dalet, 1 second. No, let's skip that for the moment. Go to Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. That's line 30. Okay, it should really say paradalek. Doesn't? Kama chamura mitzvah avelus, says the Rambam. Shaharei, how chamur is avelus? Shari nitches lo atumba v'pnei krovav. Kadeshius askman v'yisab aleim. We thrust aside the mitzvah of kvura, right, in order to allow for kvura sameis. That's how chamur avelus asvelus is. Once again, are we talking about aninus or avelus here? Shenemar, kim l'shero akarov elav, l'aviv l'imo, etc. Lo yitama, mitzaseh shem lo ratzon l'yitame, mitamino sabal karcha. So you have a kohen, and he refuses to be mitame l'meis of his own krovim, we force him to. B'med v'am amurim, b'schor shehuzro alatuma. V'la kohano, sol v'enim zara salatuma, kain ena mitzuvos l'yistame l'krovim, avlimratu mitamos, so the Rambam has a big chiddush, and that is that if you have a male kohen, right, we force him, he's mechuyev, and we force him even to be mistamel ames. But if you have a female, a bas kohen, in other words, we don't do that. If they want to be mistame, great. If they don't, they want to sit home and not go to the kvura, that's fine too.
What's it mean to be mistame, a bas kohen?
What do you mean? What does it mean? She become tame?
She's like Yisrael in terms of tumah.
Okay, and Yisrael can become tame too, right? I'll answer in a second, but you'll see. B'med Ramamurim and so on. Amar Avram Kasha. Hanatani Ishtar Rusa Lo Enim Lo Matama. Chinhila Onenis Lo Matama. Hanasu Matama. Okay, the Rambam disagrees. The Nosei Kalim are particularly bothered by this chiluk between Eishas, between Bas Kohen and Kohen. They say, doesn't make any sense. A kohen is muzar al tumas ames. So you have a counter, you know, pressure. You know, a bas kohen, which is what you were asking, is not. So if anything, wouldn't you think the opposite? We force the bas kohen to go to the funeral and to be mistames, but we don't necessarily have to force the kohen. I mean, he's sacrificing something halachically.
That's not nihugi avelus to go to a.
What do you mean?
To go to Lubaya. And all of them were chuyev to go to Lubaya.
And therefore?
So therefore, why force her to be mtami?
Yeah, but if you're forcing him, despite the fact that he has a prohibition, Kol Shekein, shouldn't you be forcing her?
Or maybe he has to be mtapo with his father, you know.
No, it doesn't seem like it's a. I mean, he has more of a chuyev to be mtapo with. With it's only not only a father, yeah. He has more of a chiv to metapel with a mace than she does.
No.
Pashtus no. Oh. So the Rav used to explain the following. And by the way, this is the Achronim ask different questions. They say, what's this doing here anyway? Do we in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph give a different makor? The Rambam emphasizes this whole din of tumas koanim lemeis as the source in Sefer Mitzvahs. Again, if you look at Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and the Nosei Kelim, the Kesa Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, they have a whole diyun on this, and Sefer Mitzvahs. What's going on here? Oh. So the Rav, I thought you were going to say something else, because you use the expression of Kiyume Avelus, or Nihugi Avelus. So the Rav used to explain this follows, and that is that Avelus should not be looked at least according to many Rishonim, as Isurim. Prohibitions. They should really be looked at as opportunities to express avelus. You know, the sense of angst and paralysis and, you know, the empathy and the identification with the mace. Nihuge avelus, instead of saying, oh, you're not, as an aval, you're not allowed to this, and you're not allowed to that, you're not allowed to sit high, you're not allowed to shave, you're not allowed to, right? That's not the way to look at it. It's an Abel has a certain, should have a certain, you know, opportunity to express therapeutically, halachically, therapeutically, right? His Avelus. And the Nihugi Avelus are methods of accomplishing that. Right? It's not prohibited to sit high. Sitting low is a way of expressing the Hachnot. Sitting Batifas Arosh, doing a kviyas amita, which is kind of a, like a questioning your tzelem elokim in a way, right? All of these things are ways of expressing avelus. So the Rambam thought, that's the pshat in Perek Aleph, and that's the pshat in Perek Dalet. They're really similar. Perek Dalet, Halacha Vav, so the Rambam, and in Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam says this idea of connecting it to Tumas Kohanim is this. You want to express that you're an avel. You want to do actions that externally, right, underscore that you're an avel. So a Bas Kohen, you know, going to the funeral doesn't prove that because there's no counter pressure. Right? She could be Miss Tames, and like you were saying before, wherever she wants, whenever she wants.
Yeah.
But he, I mean the Kohen, who has a prohibition to be Miss Tame Lemes generally, for him to be Miss Tame to a Karov is a keel. It's a way of showing and expressing and demonstrating avelus. Ah, that's something. So, and what about Perek Aleph? And what about, you know, Hayita Bein Hashem? So the Rav thought, that's what an avel is. Basically, what happens is there's a misa, and then a person's a misha mesim with lefanav, he's an onin. And aninus is, like we say, even, you know, if it's haruge malchus, fine. Haruge bezdin, there's no kavura. But there's still aninus. Why? Because aninus isn't an action. Right? Aninus is, ein aninus, ella, belev, it's vachrisa, kiyomar. So what? You're going to say, turn off your feelings for this? I mean, sometimes we do, but in a basis, a mediach, whatever. But generally speaking, even though he's a Rasha, right, it triggers an emotional response. Ein aninus, ella, belev. What we're being told is that avelus is where we give concrete expression to that. Where we do maisim that are nihuge avelus, not we refrain from isure avelus. That's achrisa kiyomar, and that's hayasa. Achalti achatos hayom hayitav rather beene Hashem. We're not saying that avelus is aninus. What we're saying is that avelus is built on the kiyum shabalev that begins with, but aninus, which continues afterwards as well. So what comes out is that according to the Rambam, while it's true that aninus l'chud and avelus l'chud, the point is that even the avelus draws upon the emotional experience of the aninus. Okay, and that's a lot closer to the Ramban. The Ramban himself also bridges the gap. Look at the other piece in Torah, Adam, the Ramban has a remarkable paragraph here. Anitema, this is on 12. Heich lamdu agaonim avelus midin aninus, at least on the questioning level. Ramban ends up holding this way, but as we said before, the Rambam and the Gaonim were of the opinion that Yom Rishon, which is Yom Kvura Umisa of Avelus, is Doraisa. The Bali Tosis felt everything was Drabanan. The Raven held even the Shloshim was Doraisa. A range of views. Okay. So, Ramban says, I don't understand. How did the Gaonim learn that Avelus on Yom Rishon, right, for instance, Yom Misa Kvura is Doraisa, they learned it from Aninus? Right, like the Rambam quoting Achalti Chatas Hayom Ayitav Beinei Hashem. So the Rambam says, I don't understand. Valo Zmanu Shalzeh, Lo Zmanu Shalzeh. Meisumut Lefana O Named Var Torah Vezeh Ikar Aninus. Ubaos Zman Ena Misabel Lo Bedivrei Torah Lo Bedivrei Sofrim Nikbar Misabel Olav. Right, what's he asking? Saying, I don't understand how you can learn Avelus Doraisa from Psukim that are dealing with Aninus. Aren't these two totally different ideas? One is pre-Kavura, the other is Mesa Mutalafanov. Heich talo agaonim atzman b'zeshu kasov achrisa ki yomar linin Avelus. Harishames b'yom risho v'nikra b'yom sheni. Arikan aninus divar Torah v'achrisa ki yomar. How can they link the two if you have Avelus Yom Rishon, which is not Yom HaKvura? So there's a Ninus, but there's no Avelus Torahs. They can't Avelus Kalim, but they're brave. Hech Nilmod Zemizeh. Shema Amino, She'en Merirus Shavach Risa Ki Omar Ela Belev. Sounds like the Rama. But Od Kashali, Yi Avelus Torah Torah, Hech Amru Ba'avel Sheetz, Oderach Noav Nechas, Yir Kholetz, Mika Doraisa Kula Kai Gamna. The Dine Avelus are Doraisa, how can it be Kulas? Like Nilus HaSandol when he's on a trip. So basically, if you look at the Ramban, also, I don't know if I copied this part. Just give me 1 second to look. No, apparently I didn't. Anyway, the Ramban has the following idea. The Ramban said, asked a question. If it's true that Dine Aninus, I'm sorry, that Dine Avelus begin by Aninus, but Misha Mesa Mutalfonov, oh, I have to stop, I'm sorry, I'm over time. Then why don't we start the Shiva already at the Aninus? Right?
When do we what?
Start the Shiva at the Misa, at the Aninus. When he's an Onain, start the Shiva. Do the Kvura, and then there'll be 6 days left. So the Ramban, that question again highlights the Ramban. Only the Ramban could ask that question because he thinks Nihugi Avelus apply. But the Ramban's answer is very telling. He gives two answers. One answer is, well, but you'd be missing Kfiyas Hameis, Kfiyas Hamita, Nilas HaSandol, and Atifas HaRosh. He wants you to have the whole complement. The other answer basically acknowledges what he also refers to in the first one, and that is, even if the dinim of Avelus apply to Onain, they apply betoras aninus, and not only because it's a straight linear hierarchy from the merirus of aninus to the end of avelus. And therefore, he says, the shivas yimei avelus has to begin at the kvura, because aninus l'chud and avelus is l'chud, even though there's an overlap in terms of nihugin. Of course, if you take the ritva, it's even a giant step further. You can have the same nihugim, most of them, the eight, and they have a different goal, maybe, even, during Aninus and during Avelus. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to show next week that the Ramban, and in his discussion of the interrelationship between Simcha and Tzar and Chas and Avel, is very consistent with this view. We'll spend like 15 minutes on that, and then we'll move on to the next sugya, which is a Shabbos topic on the